Southeast Michigan is home to the largest Muslim population in North America. That's no secret to most of us who live within driving distance of the city of Dearborn. Well over 300,000 Muslims, with at least 140 mosques in the 7-county area. The opportunity to win Muslims to Christ obviously is right at our doorstep. Not necessary for you and I as evangelical Christians to head to the Middle East, although many have done it. We support an indigenous work in Beirut, Lebanon. Our church does, with the intent of reaching people in the Middle East. But the world has come to us, and to that end, a one-day seminar will take place the last Saturday of this month, January 28th, at Merriman Road Baptist Church. And you're invited to it, and I want to encourage your participation in it. It's the Bridges One-Day Seminar, hosted by the Crescent Project, as well as Nations Next Door, and all the information about this event is at crescentproject.org, crescentproject.org. Simply click the events link, and that information will be there on the website. The founder of Crescent Project is author and lecturer Fouad Masri, who was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. He's a third-generation pastor. The producer and teacher on the DVD study Bridges, Christians Connecting with Muslims. And Pastor Masri, it's an honor to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards Program.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Paul.
Let's talk about the reality of Islam and its impact on a community. We've watched the impact of Islam in the city of Dearborn and its surrounding areas on the government there. There is a very real fear that Sharia law may be, while not certainly in an official installed way, but certainly having an influence on the community there. Given your perspective and where you come from, how concerned should American evangelicals be about Sharia law?
Yes, this is very concerning. Sharia law is designed, and it is a proof that Islam is not the religion, it's a political system. Because the few think for the many. A religion helps you relationship with God. In Islam, a few leaders utilizing a tool called Sharia law, and by the way, Sharia law can be interpreted in many ways, whether you're Shiite, Sunni, and that controls the life not only of Muslims, but also of non-Muslims. So Sharia law is like to a horse. Here's a big horse, and you can control him with a rope or with the rein. Same thing, Sharia law, once instituted in a country, now it dictates how do Muslims behave, including how they should put a hijab on, how they should marry, and dictates what others, whether the Christian, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and it dictates how they should do it. And the struggle with Sharia law, not only it has things against the scripture, but it's against any society that believes in democracy, diversity, freedom of expression, freedom of choice. These are the basic rights of humans. And that's why the Muslim world today, what we are seeing about the Muslim world, it's going in a cycle where the younger generation is asking for change, but how can you outthink the Quran? How can you outthink the Sharia law? How can you say God's law that was given to Muhammad doesn't work anymore? And so that's what you're seeing, what they call the Arab Spring, is really, we're coming out with an Arab winter. We're not even getting a summer. The choices we have are not very good choices. United States Army leaves Iraq, and in Baghdad we have a string of car bombs. Damascus has car bombs. And in the past, people used to hide behind the idea of, political issues. Well, right now, how are you going to hide behind political issues? Just religious terminology, Shiite, Sunni, Alawites, Druze. And so the struggle we have in the Muslim world today is the younger generation wants the freedom, the diversity, the change, getting Islamic law, Islamic teachings, and that's not going to happen. There is no diversity in Islam per se as a religious structure. Now, coming to America, yes, it is a danger, absolutely. Islam is the problem. In the last 1,400 years, Islam was the problem. And you see it now. In the past, it was hidden, but because of the internet, YouTube, all that, we get online and we're seeing a lot of problems across the Muslim world, from Malaysia to Morocco. Now, coming to America, Sharia law will bring a lot of issues. It is against our constitution in many ways, against requiring someone to behave in a specific way because someone thought about it behind a desk, you know. We believe in freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of choice. You can change your religion every day in this country, and nobody says a thing. Well, in Islamic law, it says you have 3 days if you leave Islam, or then you'll be executed. And so we have that struggle about it. But if I may share with our listeners something here, our danger as people who love Jesus, who follow Jesus, is to focus on the waves. Peter was walking on water when he looked at the Savior. And the text says when he saw the waves and the wind, he started sinking. And I love that you started with this. I want us to see the Muslim community in America with the eyes of Jesus. Islam is the problem, but Muslims are the victims. They don't know about the Lord. They don't know about that they can have faith in Christ, that God can save them from sin, that God can give them power over sin, that, yes, we can be sure we're going to heaven. Yes, I can love my neighbor as myself. Yes, I can love my enemies. I mean, these are concepts never heard of in the Muslim world, not in the last 10 years, in the last 1,400 years. These concepts of loving your enemies, it's never been taught at all. And so this is what I love our listeners, and thank you for starting by saying, look, there is a darkness, absolutely. There is a darkness. There is a danger. But Jesus said, light the candle, you know, light the candle, and that will defeat the darkness.
Fawood Masri, my guest. He is the teacher and producer of Bridges, Christians Connecting with Muslims, the founder of Crescent Project, www.crescentproject.org. So given the American context of democracy, should we as American Christians living in this democracy be willing to allow Islam to make as many inroads as it wants? I mean, after all, as you've already pointed out, Fawood, the reality is we live in this democracy and we value this democracy. These the Muslims are coming here, and should not they have just as much right to plant their mosques as we have to plant our churches?
That's true. The problem today is all this discussion: should we have the mosque? So we have a ground zero mosque, all that. The discussion is not going to the root problem. The root problem is not building a building. We can build buildings all as much as we want. It doesn't matter. The problem is, what are you going to teach in that building? Yeah, we cannot teach, for example, that God loves one people and hates others. We cannot teach that people of a specific skin color have less, you know, intelligence than others. I mean, these are things we've not only not acceptable in our culture, but these are diametrically opposed to our constitution. For example, we don't teach that women are intelligent than men. I mean, the Sharia law is full of mistreatment for women, including testimony in a court. The testimony of one man is equal to the testimony of two. So the struggle today is, Islam is a problem. What I'm sharing with you is there is a problem in Islam, and the idea that, you know, hey, this is going to go away tomorrow if we vote in one way or the other. It's not going to go away. So let's wake up and look at the Muslim world and look if Islam failed over there, it's not going to succeed here. But if you don't mind, I want to spin one more thing here. Is Muslims don't know Islam. Majority of Muslims today, 8 out of 10 Muslims, have never read the Quran, the book of Islam. Maybe they heard it chanted. Maybe they heard some stories from the hadith on the life of Muhammad, maybe they heard stuff. And the reason we designed the Bridges one day is we feel that the role of the church is to love Muslims, to share with Muslims. Most people think, oh, our role is to convert people. That is never our role. So the one day Bridges is designed, we're going to kick off with 4 hours on not only what is Islam, and we're going to learn about what is Islam, what is Middle Islam, why this is not going to go away, but we're going to learn a little bit more from the Word of God on what can we do as believers to pierce the darkness, to shine in the darkness. Especially when Muslims come to Christ, you should hear their testimonies. I mean, they're now putting their testimonies on YouTube. They're on the web. They are saying, we want to take a stand for Jesus. And many times the words are wonderful, but they never knew that Christ can take away their shame, that Christ can take away their guilt, that Christ can take away their fear, that Christ is the Word of God become flesh, that Jesus conquered death, that Jesus conquered Satan, that Jesus conquered sin. They get excited about these concepts that many times we as believers have known for centuries, and we take it for granted as if everybody knows about it. And it's not. It's the 21st century, and still millions come to America now, and they've never heard that God loves them so much that he sent Jesus to be the Redeemer. It's amazing that this is the, if I may say, the shame of the Church of Jesus Christ is that there are people still today don't even know the basic salvation story.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons, Pastor, that people don't witness to Muslims, or for that matter, to Jehovah's Witnesses or to Mormons or anybody else that's non-evangelical, is because they feel like they have to have a thorough understanding of what that person believes. Is it necessary for me as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have an exhaustive or at least a cursory understanding of the Quran and its teachings and the teachings of Islam in order to reach out to my Muslim neighbor?
Thank you for the question. You do not need a PhD in Islam to share the gospel. You need a PhD in Jesus. The more we know Christ, the more we reflect him. The training is designed with basic tools. Biblical tools on how to begin a conversation, how to end the conversation. I've been sharing the gospel with Muslims since 1979, and what we are bringing in the training is a part of the experience we've learned on how to begin the conversation. Sadly today, whenever we communicate with Muslims, we don't communicate in a way that the Muslim person, whether man or woman, can clearly comprehend what we're saying. Our role is to shine for Jesus. Our role is to shine in a way that the Muslim friend understands the message. And then we leave the results to God. If the Muslim friend comes to Christ, great. If he doesn't come to Christ, yeah, I mean, I'll be sad. But in the other sense, it's not my responsibility. It's their response to God. I mean, when you look, Jesus says, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make them, force them. It was, make as you're going, you make. Another place Jesus says, go and evangelize. The word evangelize comes from the Greek word evangelion. It means to share the good news. The angel appeared to the shepherds. He said, I have great news. Behold, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. So for us as believers, people who love Christ and we want to worship him and follow him, our role is to communicate in a way that the Muslim understands, and we teach those tools so the believer is equipped, but also we encourage people to shine for Christ. Christ said, abide in me. It's a very nice text, John 15. He says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any branch that does not bear fruit, I will cut off. And then the next statement, instead of saying, well, go ahead, you guys go and bear fruit, he says, abide in me. And that is a great concept. The more we abide in Jesus, the more the fruit comes out. So the witness to Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, anybody, I mean, even a witness to nominal, evangelicals. I mean, you've met people who think they're believers because they go to church on Christmas. So, the idea is that the way we shine to them is the more we abide in Christ. So I like to say we need a PhD in Jesus and then tools how to witness. The nice thing that, we give all glory to God and praise to God that since we started the ministry, we've just trained now. We just got back this year as a team from Louisville, Kentucky, and we've trained about 200 people there. Well, right now we've trained more than 17,000 believers on how to share their faith with Muslims. And we praise God for that because the church is seeing the need. The church is God's instrument to share the gospel. Christ gave the Great Commission to us, not to the angels, not to the stars, although all this might help, you know, not to creation. The Great Commission was given to the followers of Christ. And we need to, as you say in English, step up to the plate and let's meet Muslims in a loving way, in a bridging way, share with them bridges to the gospel, and then show them that Christ can change their life.
As I hear you say that the church is where the power lies, Pastor, I can't help but think of the last two verses of the book of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says that God has put all things under the feet of Jesus and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. You know, the power for overcoming any darkness, any problem in the world is not vested in the government. It's vested in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm wondering, in your interaction as we wrap this up, in your interaction with Muslims and reaching out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what are some of their top objections to Jesus and to the gospel as you've engaged them?
Yes. Let me start by saying in the last 15 years, more Muslims have become followers of Jesus than the previous 1,400 years. Mm. And the number one reason, the reason we are seeing this change, is Muslims meet an authentic Christian. An authentic, not imperfect Christian, but an authentic Christian who can share with them the truth about the questions. Second, they read the Bible in their language. Our website, crescentproject.org, has resources to answer these questions. The number one objection is that the New Testament has been changed. People can go to crescentproject.org. There's a book called Is the Injil Corrupted? Injil is the word from New Testament. We've seen Muslims come to faith in Christ after reading the book. We've seen believers, Christians, take it and get equipped how to share with Muslims. That's one question. The other question is, why did Jesus have to die? The understanding in Islam is that somehow you can erase your sins by doing earthly works. There is a misunderstanding of what is sin. Sin is not a mistake against your friend. Sin is an act of defiance against God Almighty. That's why the Bible was clear that the wages of sin is death. You have insulted God by breaking his commandments. So that's number two. The third thing that they have issues with is they have false information. For example, the concept of Son of God is very much misunderstood by Muslims. They think that we, as believers, believe there was a sexual act. The concept of Trinity, they think we worship three gods. And when you ask them what is Trinity, they will say God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the baby. So there's a misunderstanding of this terminology. So these are the things we learn how to begin a conversation and how to end it so that our Muslim friends, our classmates, our neighbors, our coworkers will get attracted to read the words of Jesus first and let them make the decision for themselves.
Well, to the audience, I say if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you desire to share the hope of the gospel with Muslims, I want to encourage you to attend the Bridges One Day Seminar. It's coming to Detroit. It'll be in Garden City, actually, at Merriman Road Baptist Church on January 28th, the last Saturday of this month, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. All of the information about this event is at crescentproject.org. Just click the Events tab. And there are several events listed there, but you see the one listed in Detroit, and that's the Merriman Road Baptist Church event. It's presented by Crescent Project and Nations Next Door, and this one-day seminar will equip you with the Word of God and the confidence to share your faith with your Muslim neighbors. And I encourage you to do it. Fouad Marzi is the teacher. He'll be there in Detroit at Merriman Road Baptist Church, and I encourage you to participate. Just go to crescentproject.org to learn more. And Pastor Masri, it's been an honor to have you here. I hope we have an opportunity to chat again.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be with you. It's my privilege.